With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily. A slightly different sort of show today because, of course, the provisional squad for the Euros was announced at 1 o'clock. But the good news was we had Stuart Pearson. So you will hear his immediate reaction to the squad. Our own England correspondent, Faye Crothers, was with us. And so, Stuart's immediate thoughts. We also got a Scotsman to pop in, Tartan View,
yes,
to give us his take on the squad, tell us if they're running scared. Ali Ross from The Sun, a regular Tartan Army foot soldier, was on fine form.
We had some sensational opinions, didn't we,
Paul? We did, yeah. Mm. We weighed in with a kind of like a couple of cab drivers, as you'd imagine. And everybody's having their say. That's the beauty of it, of course.
It's a game of opinions, isn't it, Brian?
Very much so. And here it all is. Stuart Pearce could be with us in a few moments' time. We'll get reaction from him to the squad. Faye Crothers, our England correspondent, joins us now. And I think I've given you about a second to fill, Faye. I think we're okay. It's now 1 o'clock, as far as I can tell.
My clock's just ticked over to 1 o'clock as well. And I can let you know that Gareth Southgate has picked 33 players for his provisional Euro 2020 squad. The headlines are no Nick Pope. We did know that he was going to be having knee surgery. He's not been selected. However, that doesn't rule him necessarily out of the Euros because of the rules that UEFA have brought in, which I'll discuss shortly. There's also no Eric Dier at all. And he's been a stalwart in Gareth Southgate's squads over the years, but out of form for Tottenham. The big news you'll all be waiting to hear is that Trent Alexander-Arnold is in. He has been recalled by Gareth Southgate and takes his place, as does Reece James, which we reported earlier on today. And Ben Godfrey gets his first call up, the Everton defender, as does Ben White, as we also reported here on Talk Sport earlier on, of Brighton. There are also recalls for Mason Greenwood, who was left out in the cold in March and didn't turn up for the England under-21s when he was called up for them. He pulled out injured. And Bukayo Saka, who was out injured back in March as well. So let me just go through the full squad for you after those headlines. So four goalkeepers Gareth Southgate has named: Dean Henderson, Sam Johnstone, Jordan Pickford, and Aaron Ramsdale of Sheffield United has been brought in Nick Pope's place. Defensively, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ben Chilwell, Connor Cody, Ben Godfrey, Reece James, Harry Maguire, Tyrone Mings, Luke Shaw, John Stones, Kieran Trippier, Kyle Walker and Ben White. In midfield, Jude Bellingham, the 17-year-old who's been so impressive for Borussia Dortmund this season. Jordan Henderson coming back from a groin injury. Jesse Lingard, which I know will please many West Ham fans. Mason Mount, Calvin Phillips, who's currently suffering from a shoulder injury. Declan Rice and James Ward-Prowse. And forwards-wise, it's Ollie Watkins who gets the nod in the space that we weren't sure which way Gareth Southgate was going to go. He joins Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, Mason Greenwood, Harry Kane, Marcus Rashford, Bukayo Saka, Jadon Sancho and Raheem Sterling.
Fantastic. Thank you, Faye. Thanks for sticking around. We'll speak to her in a few moments' time. Stuart Pearce, as we said, former England player and coach and West Ham coach, currently is with us. Afternoon, Stuart.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good to see you. So, I mean, I suppose the first question is, what's your reaction to that provisional squad?
Well, he's near enough named anyone who's anyone, hasn't he? Let's be honest with you. I mean, I spoke with Gareth probably about 10 days ago, I think it was, and we were talking about sort of, we got three English teams in major Euros finals, which is a real problem to him. You know, it's fantastic for the English teams, and he's delighted, obviously, that they have made Champions League final, and obviously we're United. But the pressure that puts on the two friendlies leading into it, the consistency of training leading into it, and starting the finals, all of those players, certainly anyone who plays in the Champions League, I would fully expect not to play in potentially both of the England friendlies, certainly not the first one. So that causes a problem in itself, and injuries that might be thrown up out the back of that. You know, we've seen Maguire cop an injury that's going to put him out the final, I think, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be certain bits and pieces that get thrown up. And still, sadly for England, the build-up for the Euros could be a little bit fractious.
I guess looking at it, the players that haven't made it, we were trying to find a list. When you see this list come out, and as you say, Stuart, there's about 50 names on it, right? But Maddison, Ings, Dyer, Pope, Bamford, Winks are the six that we've sort of come up with. Have you come up with anyone else who are not in this that might have thought they had a chance?
I'm going to throw a name in that probably who we didn't, people wouldn't think would have a chance, but certainly we've played him recently and he was suspended for the game, but Lewis Dunk, he has been playing particularly well, you know, I think. And I think if you ask anyone at Brighton, I mean, one of his Brighton teammates, Ben White's got into the squad, they might say that Dunk might be slightly ahead of him potentially.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Faye, we said we got news of this decision sort of late last night, but I'm sure you've been keeping in touch with people in the England camp, and I suppose it did make sense, this, didn't it? Really, as Stuart said, with those finals coming up and a few injuries to key players, it made sense to give himself that little bit more time and make sure players were in shape should they be called upon.
Yeah, it absolutely made sense. I mean, I think it was a slight surprise that the squad was going to be announced 2 days after the end of the Premier League season with, as you've just said, the Champions League and Europa League finals coming up this week as well. I think the question that many people had was why it was decided late last night, the day before, and couldn't have been decided earlier, because we have known that these three teams would be in the Europa League and Champions League finals. Perhaps it was, the injury to Calvin Phillips on Sunday that prompted this, but it makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you? And exactly as Stuart has just said, you know, they need these players for training. They're not going to have enough players available for the first warm-up game against Austria. But potentially, that with 11 players out, with 11 players playing in European Cup finals, then they would have only had 15 players available. So that doesn't really leave you very many options. So I think this is a sensible decision for sure.
Stuart, I think your job now, I guess, is to drop seven players from this squad, isn't it? That's what we've got to do, isn't it? We've got to get to 26 from 33. There are 12
on the
defenders.
Basis they all make it through these finals and everybody's fit that's
of
in
course,
this squad.
Of course. Yeah. And actually, that's quite an interesting point, isn't it, about fitness, right? Because we have in the past taken players that haven't been 100% fit for tournaments, and it seems like a really obvious thing to say, but it's massively important that your players are 100% fit.
We don't want a picture of Harry Maguire's foot on the cover of the Sun the morning of the first game, so we'll have to touch it and pray. We don't want one of those, do we?
I think you'll find that his feet wouldn't fit on the front cover. They might extend to the rear cover as well. He's got some plates on him, you know?
Yeah. Well, can we get some questions from you, by the way? People are already sending them in, so if you've got any thoughts on the squad, we'd love to hear from you. TalkSport.com, text 81089. Tweet TSH&J. We'll put them to Stuart and Faye.
Giggsy says Southgate's bottled it already. He's in the pocket of big England. There we are. So that's positive.
Well, Dee's come in, I guess, as a Leeds fan, saying, what does Patrick Bamford have to do to get the recognition he deserves and be in the England squad? His numbers were good this season, Stuart, but he's not made the cut. What do you make of Bamford's?
Well, he's had a fantastic season, as have Leeds, let's say that, you know, but I think he's in competition with Calvert-Lewin and Ollie Watkins, and if you ask varying supporters from their clubs, they would probably say they're ahead of Bamford. I think it's maybe a toss of a coin on a certain day on that one. I would have probably erred with Watkins and Calvert-Lewin ahead of Bamford. That's a personal choice, but I'm sure Leeds fans will certainly, you know, his goals tally certainly add up. Yeah. There is no doubt about that. He's probably had as good a season as he's had.
He brings people into play as well. I mean, I'm sort of looking at Bamford as someone who could replace Kane at Tottenham. I think he's technically the most talented of those.
And
I said
to you the other day, I thought his kind of, goals to shots would have been not that great. He comes across as a player that needs sort of 10 chances to score a goal. But his numbers don't back that up, do they? They compare pretty well with Kane.
Same as Kane. Yeah. And I'll try and find that statistic. And if I'm wrong, I apologise to everyone on earth for that.
When you're looking to choose players in this, I mean, you were involved in Fabio Capello's setup, Stuart. So when a manager is picking players, how much are you looking at form? How much are you looking at the fact you can trust those players? They've been in your squads before and they've never let you down.
I think it's a culmination of a lot of things. You talked about Fabio's squad, and Fabio made a couple of judgment calls in regard to the likes of Ledley King at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we took Ledley even with his injury record, and I think Ledley managed to play 45 minutes in the tournament and stuff like that. So Gareth will be acutely aware that probably extending this squad to 26 players might give him the flexibility to maybe pick, at a maximum, I would say, two players that have got question marks to them, that have got great CVs, that have been brilliant for the squad. Maguire will be one of them, that if he's not fully fit but there's a question mark, he might get himself fit. He might make the cut. And Jordan Henderson, for everything that Hendo gives that squad, his leadership and everything, even though he hasn't played. On and beyond two players, I'm not sure that it's a wise move to have a question mark on any more than that. Otherwise, you've got players sat around that can't contribute.
Yeah. What chance do you give someone like Ben White or Ben Godfrey, you know, coming in now, to actually get on that plane, but they're not getting on a plane, are they, to get the bus to Wembley?
I think injuries to others will be the thing that might get them in it. Otherwise, I think it's come a little too late for both of them, I've got to say. Just looking through, more to the point about picking the squad, you're better off saying, if you're trying to get to a figure that we're talking to, is saying, you know, if Jordan Henderson doesn't show his fitness and doesn't get a game in either of the two friendlies, then that would probably rule him out. You've mentioned Ben White, you've mentioned Ben Godfrey. Connor Cody might be one on a cusp slightly as well, potentially. And then you've got a scenario of the balance of the squads. What players offer you, a fantastic tourist to be around the squad over a duration of a tournament? And probably more importantly, what players like Cole Walker can play, you know, right centre half in a three and right back or right wing back that offer you those extra options within the squad?
What do you think he'd be saying to Godfrey and to White? Would he be saying, look, boys, it's unlikely you're going to be going, but this is great experience for you, enjoy it? Or will he say, look, if you have a great week and, you know, you've got a chance?
Exactly that, to be honest with you. You wouldn't pick any of these boys and then put their lights out straight away and say, look, you're an outside chance. Why would you do that? It's folly. But what you can say is, look, we got two friendlies to come up. Chances are you're going to be featuring in those, because there's 11 players in the major Euros finals that probably won't be playing, certainly in the first one. If you get your opportunity on a pitch, as we've seen many, many times before, and you take that opportunity and have a sterling game, the chances are, you never know with Gareth. I think he's not afraid to make big judgment calls.
From a West Ham point of view, you must be pleased to see... Declan Rice was always going to get in there. Jesse Lingard has had such a remarkable run. No, I mean, no one would have put him anywhere near the England squad at the start of this season.
No,
he's been brilliant, hasn't he?
I think Jesse and I've got to say John Stones as well, probably at the start of the season.
Yeah,
both of those two individuals, you'd have said, England squad next summer, not really seeing it. They've got to get in their own teams first before they get a chance of international football. Jesse has been outstanding for us, I've got to say. From day one, he's walked through the door. Physically, he's fantastic. He hit the ground running straight away and off he went. And he's just fitted in the team so well. You know, I think he enjoys the environment at West Ham. He's flourished within that environment. And his form and his stats are fantastic, you know. And he's given us at the club an extra dimension this year. And I'm delighted to see him and Deck both in the squad.
There's something so interesting about Jesse Lingard and the way we view squads and players. And we get very excited by any player who's new, you know, who's new and young and exciting. And because Jesse Lingard's sort of been around the block a bit, I think fans who aren't necessarily West Ham fans will just be like, it's just not, it doesn't excite you. But if you think of some of the goals that he's scored recently, was that game at Wolves, was it, where he scored?
Yeah.
And he was absolutely brilliant. I just think sometimes as fans, we sort of jump on any player who's new and exciting and young and sometimes sort of ignore players, or don't look at it in the right way to look at it. Look at it in a very myopic way, i.e. where are the players from my team, rather than going, okay, the season is finished now, we are England fans and we should just want the best or the best balance. Not necessarily, you can't get the best players in because you've got to pick some lumbering centre-backs amongst 10s, haven't you, basically.
This is what you've got to understand about international football, which I found out. There's a clamour. Get Stuart Pearce in the squad, get Kenny Sampson out the squad. This is how it worked with me. And then all of a sudden I get in and I have my dozen games and it's, all right, we're bored with this one now. Right, get Tony DiRigo in. He's better than him.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just a clamour. Okay, we know you. We know your back catalogue. We know the stories. We're a bit bored with you from the media side of it. Not all media. Obviously, TalkSport are more balanced than that.
Of course
we
are. Nothing is balanced.
You know, get him out. Let's get the new kid in the
blocking. Imagine we could have got that just extra step in Euro 96 if we'd had DiRigo.
Well, that's what
they're saying. I said that must have been 30 years ago now. That boy is the future. But he's got a fight on his hands, though.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Max Rushton here on TalkSport. Stuart Pearce with us in the studio. We've just had Gareth Southgate's provisional squad for the Euros. 33 players will be cut to 26. We believe next Tuesday, as we said, the headlines, no Nick Pope with his injury, no Lewis Dunk, no Eric Dyer, no Harry Winks, no James Maddison, no Danny Ings, and a lot of Manchester United fans, or fans of the player, including Wayne and Damien and lots of others, Stuart, saying, no Wan-Bissaka, question mark. Not even in the frame. I mean, he wasn't even really expected to be, was he, either? But an excellent player and a great defensive fullback.
You've hit the nail on the head there. He's probably the one-on-one best qualified fullback, as in a defensive shield as such. But with this England team, the way they play, the way football's developed, I think you're looking for more than that, and they've got to do. This is why Trent Alexander-Arnold, Trent probably on his defensive work might not get in the squad, but what he does in the opposition's half is absolutely sensational. So, and I think you need that. You need it at club level, and you certainly need it at international level. Both fullbacks to be able to operate to a real high level in the opposition's half, and that's probably what's cost Wan-Bissaka his place.
I mean, the depth of the right back is ridiculous, isn't it? And it's almost a sign of how Gareth Southgate can't win unless he wins the Euros. Because whoever he doesn't pick, you know, at some point we get knocked. You know, chances are, history tells us, at some point we get knocked out of the competition, and then we look back at the mistakes that we made. But it's very hard to say how you can't take Kyle Walker given the season he's had. It's very hard to say. If you talk to anyone who watches La Liga week in, week out, I mean, I think Trippier played every minute of every game apart from that ban. So as soon as he came back from that 10-game ban, he went straight in and played 90 minutes again. He's been brilliant for Atleti, and Reece James has had a brilliant season. I think Alexander-Arnold's a wonderful footballer, but that is so difficult for Gareth Southgate.
I think you made a really good point there. Sometimes when you say who should be in, you've got to turn the question on its head and say, who'd you leave out? You know, Cole Walker's a must for me. I think his form's been sensational. And he can play wing-back comfortably and probably, arguably, might be our best wing-back. And central defence as well, which tips him the wink over one or two others, you know. So, it definitely, who'd you leave out if you put him in? So, that's what's probably put Trent Alexander in, under a little bit of pressure, let's say.
Talking of players that are still injured, hoping to be fit for the Euros, we talked about Henderson and Maguire, and there's just been this concern about Calvin Phillips. But we've also got a situation with Jack Grealish, who's a bit undercooked. He's only just come back after a long layoff. He's sort of started a couple of games, one game, and you've had a very similar thing with Declan Rice, haven't you, in West Ham, where he's only just got back in. Was he a bit fearful? Was he getting a bit nervous?
I always felt as though he gives the demeanour of, look, I'll be fit in time as such. But the one thing with him, it probably took him a game or two. He had three games in a week, basically, to finish the season for us. And he probably, if I put my hand on heart, he wasn't playing as well as when he finished off and got just before the injury. So it's took him a game or two to get his full fitness and his full confidence within it. And potentially, for someone like Declan, I think those two friendlies will be really helpful, at least to get maybe 190 minutes under his belt. That will tick him along even further down the line.
Mm. And we should thank everyone for suggesting Timu Puki, Antti Niemi, yeah. Stuart Dallas,
yeah.
All these guys. I presume that's David Moyes ringing you saying, what are you doing, Stuart? You know, yeah. Should be at work now, mate.
I'm hoping.
You know, we've got a plan for the Europa League.
My 1G phone. I put it on silent and it turns itself back on again. Sorry about that,
gentlemen. We'll take a call, actually. Matt is a Leicester fan. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
No problem. What do you make of the squad overall?
Well, look, I mean, it's got every man and a dog in there, hasn't it? So it's not very much to pick apart. I think that my sole problem, though, is the centre-forward position, because we've got three. And don't get me wrong, Ollie Watkins is a good footballer. He's great for Villa. He's talented. There's not many criticisms you can have for a player that's his stage of a career. But there is zero situations where he plays a minute. He's not going to displace anyone in the first team, and he's not the type of player that you're going to throw on in the last 20 minutes to change a game. It's absolutely pointless. Bamford should be disgusted with that announcement. And for me personally, and I know people aren't going to agree with this, but style of play-wise, he's the closest thing we have to Kane.
No, I agree with that.
Whereas Kane gets injured, we don't have to completely change the style of play by bringing somebody else in, like a Watkins or a Calvert-Lewin. And guys, how many times have we been to a tournament with no plan B? And yes, this guy's injury record is going to make people turn their noses up. But if you only need one guy for 30 minutes in one game, Michael Antonio is an absolute beast. His power, his directness. If you're telling me that any centre-back pairing in Europe is used to competing with something like that, he's like a displaced in time Les Ferdinand. Like, we need something like that in the squad when we roll the dice, not just throwing on more fair players, someone that's aggressive, powerful, wants the ball, wants to win, has that desire. It's the centre-forward position is the only thing that worries me, because we have options and they've just been completely dismissed.
Mm. OK, Matt, thanks very much for that. Stuart?
Interesting what Stuart thinks about Antonio. I mean, he's powerful. He's a super talented player as well, isn't he?
He strikes fear into defenders. There's no doubt about that, you know. Listen, I understand the point of an impact sub. I think there's one or two probably ahead of him on a more consistency level, but he's certainly on a first-hand situation. He's probably an individual that pace, power, all of those things people don't like to play against. I think Matt made some really solid points there, I've got to say. And quite often, you know, people will say things and you dismiss them because they don't tally with what you see with your own eyes. But I think in regard like for like, Bamford, you can put an argument up.
Yeah.
You know, if three players were on the transfer market now in Calvert-Lewin, Watkins and Bamford, and you had your choice of one of the three, let's say, it would be really interesting to see. I think... I personally think the majority of people would go for Calvert-Lewin and Watkins above Bamford, but I understand the point of bringing him on in a like-for-like scenario.
I mean, finding a like-for-like with Harry Kane is pretty tough, isn't it, for what he brings to a team?
Clone Alan Shearer. I mean,
if you're looking for a focal point, I'm sure Gareth would argue that Dominic Calvert-Lewin can do that. He's good in the air, he's strong, he can do a lot of those jobs. But Matt is right, I think that was a very good point.
I'd like to throw in as well, from a tactical point of view, I spoke with people in the lead up to the friendlies in March, and they were talking about, will England play three at the back? Will they play four at the back? And I said, football isn't like that anymore. You've got to go into major tournaments and any game, to be honest with you, open-minded. And I think the same applies up front as well. We're talking about, we got strikers, we're talking about who plays up front. Teams sometimes don't play with a striker.
Mm.
They play with people off, Foden and Sterling floating off, two number 10s potentially, and that might be the way forward as well. There's no doubt that Gareth would have explored that. You know, if Harry isn't fit any time and you think, hang on, playing Foden and somebody a mount sure. off of it, that might be the way forward with no recognised centre-forward.
I know we have to break, but Martin just says, I'm sick of this narrative that Trent can't defend. Of all the right-back options available to Southgate, he finished the season with the highest percentage tackle rate. I did want to ask Stuart, we can do it after the break or do it now. Did you ever think, I'm looking at Southgate thinking, is there any part of him thinking, it'd be useful if one of these right backs just got a knock and then the decision's taken out of my hands? When you were under 21, boss, did you ever go, do you know what? If I don't have to make that decision, it makes my life a lot easier.
There's not a manager alive that won't put their hand on their heart and say, you know what, that injury on the Friday has done me the biggest favour ever. There's no doubt, you know what I mean? You don't want your key ones to get injured, but the marginals on occasion has helped you out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're in the entertainment business, Paul.
Well,
believe it or not.
Believe it or not,
and,
yeah.
You know, the squad announcement, it's all a bit dry, isn't it? So can you could the listeners think up ways to make next Tuesday, when we have to do the same thing all over again, when we go from 33 to 26, is it 33 or 32? 33 to 26.
Yeah.
How can we do it in an exciting way? I put this out on Twitter, but if you'd like to get in touch, you can, 81089, at Max Rushton, at TSHNJ. If you want to get past the quality control, max.rushton@talksport.co.uk. That comes straight through to me.
He has no filter.
Colin says, like the £1 million drop, so you have Trent, Reece James, Trippier, Kyle Walker, all perched perilously on trap doors.
So not a general knowledge question riding on it. It's just a...
No, Gareth's there.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just... I guess he just presses a button of some sort. And then one of us falls through the chute and they're out of the squad.
It's a bit cold, isn't it, really?
Well, I suppose so. But think of the tension. You know, Davina's there. There's that sort of heartbeat kind of... Boom, boom,
go to the ad break.
And suddenly, yeah.
Just as they do, you'll find out after the break.
Reece James just hurtles through to the basement where he has to stay until next season. Hornet 49 says, get Chris Whitty to announce it with next slide, please. One slide for each player.
Wow.
Be quite nice.
Either in or out.
Leighton makes quite a good point. Read the England squad. The people I feel sorry for, he says, are the guys at the Panini stickers. What do they do now? Because, you know, they put out the album... And then suddenly, you know, they haven't got a Ben Godfrey square, have they? What are they?
Did you see? I think the Beeb had to recut their promo for the tournament because they had Ramos in it. I think probably spent quite a lot of money doing an animated Sergio Ramos, and he's not in the squad, so they've gone back to the edit suite. I mean, it's making fools of us all. We're going to find out about the Italian squad later on, and you're thinking, have they announced yes? Well, they've done the same thing. They've announced the provisional squad, Mancini has, and so we're going to find a bit more about Tomori and about Italy's squad, because they're a country that people are starting to talk about now. You know, people in the know are saying, you know, watch Italy. They could be really good for this Euro.
Very good midfield. Up front is there, you know. Will Scalacci get a chance? Totti and Scalacci, the Germans. The Germans have brought back some old players, haven't they?
Maybe not that old.
This is from the Tin Booney. The FA should team up with Virgin Media. Players can only find out if they are in the squad by contacting Virgin's team of dedicated customer support staff. if more than 8 players make it onto the plane, I'd be surprised. They're obviously not here to defend themselves. They have a wonderful customer service set up, I'm absolutely sure.
The other thing you wanted to know was... how people in the past got themselves picked for things. How did they discover they had been picked? Because now, of course, it goes out on social media. But back in the day, it was slightly different, wasn't it?
What was it for you? What was it? It was noticeable. Well, school
outside the school gym, which was the office, the slightly smelly office that all the sports teachers used to have. It used to smell sort of a rank green flash. It's always a bit fetid in there because it was one sweaty man or woman disappearing and then another one going in after a games lesson to drink coffee. So it was stale coffee and sweat, really. But outside there, they would pin it up. And I think the sports teacher spelt my name wrong for about 5 years.
At sixth form, the captain of Hills Road Sixth Form College First 11 was called Greg Sharp. He had a rocket of a left foot. But the way he would tell you how you were picked, he'd walk around the canteen, or there was a chill out area called the basement, right, which smelt quite funky.
Yeah.
And it was always playing Automatic for the People by R.E.M. I think it was the only song on the jukebox there. He would sort of come sidle up next to you and just whisper in your ear, 2 p.m. Leeward Road, and he'd walk off. It's a bit like sort of a spy, you know, like exchanging briefcases. So I just wonder if there are ways that people were told that they'd got into the squad. William says, we had a psycho headmistress that took the team, and I was on the bench as sub goalie, aged 8. After going 3-0 down after 15 minutes, she turned to me and said, are you better than this clown? I said yes, and I was subbed on immediately. That's quite fun, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Can we just say hello to Jonathan Beals, broadcaster, just had successful eye surgery at Moorfields Hospital. He's now listening to us in the rest room. We're here for convalescence.
Good, that's right. That's right.
If anybody is, you know, due an op and wants us to do it live, we would do it live, not in these hours, obviously. We'd go to any restroom and do it live in person, if that would help.
Okay, you're on your own there, mate. Okay. I don't know about that. I clock off at 4.
David Manchester says, regarding next week's final squad announcement, why not do a modified birthday spread where Andy reads out the player's birthday, Paul and Max have to guess the player using a clue suggested by one of Andy's awful jokes.
I mean, it's not the volatility when you're guessing the names of footballers, is there, really? I imagine it'll be pretty tight. Yeah, Steve Pepper had been in touch, said, I was surprised that no one mentioned Tomori. Well, the England manager did, but it wasn't quite enough to get him in. A lot of Wan-Bissakas still coming in. A couple of others. Craig Dawson deserved a shout, says Chris, who I guess is a West Ham fan. A lot of Wan-Bissakas. That is the key one that keeps coming up again. Jack Harrison again. So a lot of very similar names, people feeling could have been in the frame and should have been in the frame.
But yeah, but, you know, any of those who'd got in, they wouldn't make it next week. So it's better off finding out now
There'll be other whatabouts. Say, Ivan Tony says, Tom, you know, surely had to be considered. A bit early for him, I think. Give him a season in the Prem.
Still recovering from Asmir Begovic grabbing the ball off.
Well, that'd be the Stevie Ball selection, wouldn't it, that we saw in Italia 90? That sort of era.
So, George says, what about this? X Factor style, Gareth Southgate. You know, brings in a player, Mason Mount, sits him on a chair. I'm sorry to say, Mason, and this is hard, you're so young, but decisions have to be made. And unfortunately for you, you'll be seeing a lot more for me at the Euros. Yeah. And then they dive in the pool together, kind of thing.
You're coming to London. Exactly. They could do a bit of those. Anyway, we're looking for inventive ways to cut the seven players. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. You can keep reacting to the squad as well. Now, apparently, it looks like Wolves are going Portuguese again.
No way.
Which
Stop
is
it.
Understandable.
It is, yes.
But they wear a Portuguese kit as a third kit. And they got a lot of Portuguese players, so it would be seamless. We're going to find out more about the new man in charge. Our European football expert, who really does know his Portuguese football, Andy Brassel, will be rejoining us. We'll get his take on the England squad as well. Plus, a little bit later on, we've got a Scottish angle. Tartan Viewers, I believe they used to call it in the 70s. It features in magazines that anything was slightly Scottish.
Yeah, I had Barca Jim's been in touch, Scottish fan of the show. At 20-2, the first, quote, we can win it of the day, he heard. Yeah, he's pleased
with
that.
Well, you know, they're home games, effectively, as it will be for Scotland.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're arguing about telly.
We are.
At the moment, the merits or otherwise of different TV shows. That's because that's not why he's come in.
It might be.
Ali Ross has joined us in the studio, a regular Tartan Army foot soldier. And we thought, as we said, ideally need some bagpipe music under this. Let's get the Tartan View, as they used to say in Titbits in the mid-70s. Ali, good to see you.
Lovely to see you both.
We've announced the provisional England squad today. Yeah. And I wonder what are your feelings as a Scot, someone who'll be taking England on a few weeks' time?
I think Gareth Southgate's a very frightened man, isn't he?
You think so? That's 33
names. Give me
another week on this. They're running scared.
He's seen Big Dicko and Gallagher and thought, oh, I need more time here, more flip charts.
He doesn't want to commit to 26 because he needs to formulate that game plan to take on Scotland.
Yeah, no, it's, England have got some great players, and you look at that tournament and think, there's six, maybe seven teams in with a chance of winning it, and they're certainly one of them.
Mm.
But international football's a very difficult thing. I think England tend to get carried away. Look, we've got all these superstar names, which you had in 2004 at the Euros, but it doesn't amount always to a team.
No.
Plus, we're in the really tricky side of the draw.
Yeah.
So get through that group. At the very least, you're facing Germany in the last 16, Spain in Rome in the last 8, France in a semi, and then Scotland take Belgium in the final on penalties.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, Ali, would you take a semi-final for Scotland, but England get to the final? So I'm not giving you the results at all.
No chance, no.
Right, okay.
Would you take beating England in the group with England getting to the final? Yes.
Would you?
Because it's a moral victory.
Okay.
As long as you lose that final.
Well, you can't take that. You know, the offer is not like that.
But to win that final and say, of course, it was almost a flawless campaign when England won the Euros in 2020/21, apart from that defeat by Scotland, would that be enough? It would be a kind of asterisk next to it,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, we were world champions 67-70, 74-78 as well. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah, look, we've made better situations of things than England potentially getting to the final, which is unthinkable.
Now, but England have lined up a couple of friendlies, one against Austria, one against Romania. I mean, you know, they're not the whipping boys of European football, but they're kind of winnable. Not Scotland, who decide to set up a morale-boosting away game against Holland.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
I mean, if you get gubbed, it won't be great, will it? Really, going into a tournament. I mean,
well,
I'm not saying
your
you
expectations,
will.
Paul. This is what it's always been about with us.
You normally ease your way into a tournament, but Holland away. I mean, what's your record like against the Dutch? Have you done the Amsterdam? I'm sure you have.
I've done the Amsterdam trip twice. Goals 4-0, goals against 9.
Oh, okay.
But you played well as a fan.
Well, as a fan,
yeah, you've supported well.
I was immense. Yeah. I was box to box.
Yeah.
I was at the 6-0 game. It's the only time I think I've left early. And on the underground going back, someone started the rumour. Someone just said, Jackie McNamara's popped one in from 30 yards. I woke up the next morning convinced it was 6-1.
But then you take on Luxembourg, Hamden, so that will hopefully cheer everybody up.
They're all right, Luxembourg, aren't they?
They're not a bad side.
As a pot 5-6 team goes, they're pretty useful. So
I'm very nervous about the Scotland game.
Well, I mean, as we were saying the other day, we see England on paper look like a better. I mean, that time, that Euros playoff game, remember when Don Hutch scored the goal at Wembley and they came very close? It was the Scholes.
Boy, do I remember.
Yes,
that.
I was at that one as well, and it was only that Paul Scholes had got the goals in Scotland.
I was removed from the stadium on 37 minutes.
Oh, really? What for?
For celebrating the Scotland goal in the England end for my own safety. I was just staring at the outside of Wembley after.
Didn't they house you somewhere else? They just booted you out.
Frankly, I was grateful to be out of there.
Did you have anyone with? Were you the sole Scotland fan in that section?
I was in with Ulrika Johnson and Adrian Edmondson from the young ones.
Wow!
Believe it or not, it's the only way I could get a ticket was pulling some freebie off a well-known drinks company. And they plied us with alcohol beforehand, which was a huge mistake. Ah. I said, "Be all right. Scotland won't score. Do anything daft like that." Of course, 37 minutes. They're playing out their skin.
Yeah.
We take the lead, and that was me.
So what, can you remember, it wasn't the attempt to sit on the hands and just go, when you scored, you're higher,
I was giving it the full.
Really? Yeah. You turn around and
showboating.
Wow. And then there were a lot of angry people said, get him out.
I was aware coins were flying past my head.
Oh, dear.
And Ulrika's head as well.
So I was going to say, I don't remember that episode of The Young Ones that Ulrika was in, but she was good, wasn't she? The University Challenge episode, wasn't she? And are you going to the games?
I'm not. No, I'm.
You're not.
I'm given Wembley, I miss pretty much. I went to a friendly where we lost 3-2.
Yeah.
it was There's something about that place. I just don't want to ever see it again. So I'm going to the Czech Republic and Croatia games.
Right.
But not Wembley.
And will you watch with other Scots? Because I do a lot of work with Barry Glendening. He's a very proud Irishman. Uh-huh. And we watched the
fine writer
2018 World Cup together. And he says the worst moment of his life was watching me watch England win a penalty shootout. And he did river dance in my face when Croatia scored in extra time. So do you watch with... Will you watch?
I don't ever watch England.
Okay.
I don't like what it does to me. I don't like that person I become.
Right, I see. You go to a dark place. That's right.
It's really... I tried it for the 2-2 game in the qualifiers last time. And I just remember I was screaming obscenities at my own television. What sort of place is that to find yourself in?
You know, that's very true. That is very true. Well, Ali, on the face of it, and you look at that, nothing scares you. I mean, it's a good side, but, you know, bring it on. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, what's the point in being scared? Come on, it's 23 years we've not been in a tournament.
Mm.
We have nothing to lose. I see from the headlines in the press down here, you have plenty to lose.
I think that's fair enough. I think it was about 20-2 today we decided we were going to win it. That was the first one.
Has Henry Winter declared you winners yet? That's always the sort of first cuckoo of the spring.
Stuart Pearce, I think he was saying we'll be there or thereabouts.
He told a cabbie. That's a done deal, isn't it?
Right, okay.
And I think the important thing for England fans' point of view is if you look back in history, it very rarely happens that we say we're going to win and we don't. We normally very understated, we keep it calm, we don't get carried away.
And then we win the tournament.
There's no every 2 years. It's just trophy after trophy after. And at the end we go, we should have got carried away this time.
A bit like the Germans, really.
Oh, well, look, you have got a great set of players there.
Bring it on.
I better prepare for the worst.
Hope for the best. Hope for the best.
You won't see me for dust, Paul Hawke.
Well, if Scotland win, we will definitely get you in the day after. Well, it's a Saturday, so Max can get you in.
You are welcome.
I'll be camping outside.
You're absolutely welcome to
banging on the door. Yeah. Thank you, Ali.
No worries.
We'll let you crack on with your column. Ali's excellent column will be back, of course, in the Sun on Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. I'd tell you, we're a slightly more regular show tomorrow, I would think.
We'll add a bit more fun.
A bit more assorted nonsense. Okay, yeah, I think we had a duty today to bring people the England squad.
I didn't get the chance to tell you today about the new craze that's sweeping the nation, which is putting eyes on the back of your cat to make the tail look like the trunk of an elephant. Here it is in the Daily Star. What do you think of that?
That's great. It's really quite impressive. I can see that.
This is what the listeners missed out on today.
We can do, that's probably half an hour tomorrow, which is great. On a normal day, we could have done that.
You made an elephant out the back of your cat.
Rejoin us tomorrow from 1. If you can't, of course, the podcast will be available at 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi! This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.